Good morning. Our Lord, for being here this morning, appreciate his faithfulness to each one of us. Now, your prayers this morning, yet one more time, as we look into the Word of God. Depending on Him, can't do anything without Him. Thank the Lord for the privilege that we have to have a King Jesus. Take the road along with our burdens. Again, I desire your prayers this morning as I was looking to the Lord this week. It seemed like there was several thoughts that he brought to my mind, and I wasn't sure which one he would have me to bring to the saints this morning, and then he brought something else. So we thank the Lord. Believe that it goes in conjunction with what we've been hearing recently. Last time I ministered, two weeks ago, we were talking about the sensitivity to God, and I believe this thought goes in conjunction with that, and also in agreement with what we heard about last week about blessing our name. Thought this morning is difficult in places, kind of a maybe not a normal subject of a thought, but I believe it'll become clear. But allow me this morning, as we look into the Word of God, we could use the words difficult places and just difficulty in general, maybe in the same sense. I would like to begin reading with a very familiar text of scripture that is found in the 18th chapter of Luke, a story that we no doubt have read many times, we've heard about it many times. It's a story that we're all familiar with. In the 18th chapter of Luke, starting at the 18th verse, we're going to read down through verse 23.
And a certain ruler asked him.
Saying,
Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him. Why callest thou me good?
None is good.
Save one. That is God. Thou knowest the commandments.
Jesus said, thou knowest the commandments.
Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said,
All these have I kept from my youth up.
Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast,
and distribute unto the poor.
Thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. When he heard this, he was very sorrowful. For he was very rich.
As we think about this story this morning, I want us to take note of several things. Obviously, this ruler says here in the 18th verse that he was a ruler. So he had some kind of authority. He was some kind of authority figure, and apparently he had heard about this Jesus. He had heard about him, and he was intrigued enough to go have a conversation with him. Yes. Right? And so he, we don't know what all he had to go through, maybe to track him down, but there was effort involved in him seeking out Jesus. Yeah. You know, as a ruler, maybe you could think, maybe he probably no doubt have some maybe his those that were under him, maybe he could have sent them, right? If we think about it this morning, he could have said, why don't you go and find this Jesus and go ask him this question for me? But it was important enough for him to say, you know what, this is something that I need to find out for myself. This is important here. This is not just something that I'm curious about. I'm really concerned about. I heard about this eternal life. Yeah. And it's something that I want, and I'm going to seek out and find it for myself. Yeah. So I'm going to go find Jesus, and we're going to have a conversation.
Yeah.
So they began a dialogue. He started when he said, good master. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, and that's God. So then Jesus begins to list out some things. You want to inherit eternal life? I'm going to give you some of the criteria. There's, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And if you allow me to take a little liberty this morning, I could imagine that this ruler here, as Jesus was naming these things out, he probably thought in his mind, he said the first one, well, let's see. Do not commit adultery. Right, okay, I'm good there. You can imagine maybe if he had imaginary check boxes in his mind, right? That he, as Jesus was naming these things, that he began to check them off. Yeah. And I believe after each one, he probably started feeling pretty good. You know what? After each one, wait, I checked that one. I got that one down. I've been doing that. He probably, you know, was like, all right, I like where this is going here. This is going in a good direction. All these things that he's saying, I've been doing these things. I'm a child. So Jesus kept going. He said, all these things I have kept from my youth up, I've done all these things. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. It's wonderful. You know, it's wonderful that he had done all these things, right? That was good. Yeah. But Jesus said, there's one thing that you lack. Sell of all that thou hast, distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure. Come and follow me. This ruler came to Jesus. Right? He was seeking him out, and he wanted to know how he could get eternal life. You know one thing about Jesus and those that follow after him, they tell the truth. Right? He did. Jesus told him the truth. And you know, maybe it wasn't what he wanted to hear, but it was the truth.
Yeah.
You've been good. It's wonderful. But there's one thing that you lack. And this is what you need to do. You need to sell all that you have and give to the poor. Come and follow me. And when this ruler, when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. You know, there was something missing, right?
Yeah.
There was just one thing that was missing. But he wasn't willing. He wasn't willing to share. You know, as we endeavor to interact with Almighty God, God lets us know, doesn't he?
Yeah.
If there's something missing, we come to a difficult, this was a difficult place for this ruler. Because here everything was laid out, and he was told what he had to do, but that was just the one thing. Oh, it's just too difficult. Can't do it. You know what? I believe that, you know, he probably failed to think about how did he get all those riches? Who allowed him to have them? You know, so when you think about it, really God could have taken those away anyways. Yes. Right then he wouldn't have had anything. Yes. But that thought didn't cross his mind. I'm reminded of a scripture in Jeremiah. It talks about our whole heart. Right? You can, it's 75%, 80%? No, 100%.
Yeah.
Jesus wants 100. He doesn't want us to hold anything back. So some of the writers said, mentioning about taking notice that he was a ruler. And you know, in that time, there many of the rulers, they didn't have any great esteem for Jesus, did they? But this man, he saw it out. He got what he needed. God gave him the answer that he needed. You want eternal life? This is what's required.
Yeah.
It's that simple. This is what you want. This is how you get it. But he went away sorrow. Somehow the love of that, of his love was in his riches and what he had. And that was more important to him than eternal life.
Yeah.
I wanted to pick up on a few other things that some of the other writers in the Gospels picked up on. One of them is found in the 10th chapter of Mark in the 17th verse. This is the same story. But you know, it's wonderful how God uses his vessels. You know, we can get a little piece from Matthew, we can get a piece from Mark, we can get a piece from John, but you know, they had a different perspective as they were there at that time and experiencing the things that took place. So in Mark 10 and 17, he made note of something as this ruler was coming to Jesus.
And when he had gone forth into the way, there came one running. And he kneeled to him. And asked him. Good master. What shall I do that I may inherit?
Yes. So he came running. It's not just that he was just seeking after him. He came running to find him.
Yeah.
Generally, when we're running for something, that's a sense of urgency, right?
Yeah.
You know, maybe we've had occasion in our life where we've had to run from something or run to something. It's because it's urgent.
Yeah.
So he was, this was serious to him. It was important. So he came running, and then it said he kneeled. So there was a humility that he had about him.
Yeah.
Came running and he kneeled and he recognizing him as being from God.
Yeah.
He got down on his knee. Good master, what shall I do? Again, just reiterating the point here that he was serious about this. Do you read here that it said that he went off to the side in a corner somewhere?
No.
I could imagine then that there was a lot of, but there was people around. There was no concern. You know, sometimes when we have private conversations, we don't want other people to hear, right? He wasn't even concerned about that. He didn't matter. He wasn't concerned about who's going to overhear me asking and what kind of the response is going to be given. He wasn't even concerned about that.
He was concerned about that eternal life.
Yes.
I can't help but notice in that 21st verse in the 10th chapter of Mark, the response that Jesus had to him after he asked this question. It says, Mark 10 and 21, then Jesus, beholding him, he loved him. And he said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross, and follow me. Can you imagine the care, the concern, the compassion that Jesus had toward this ruler? As he basically just laid himself out, I'm an open book. What do I need? You know, when God deals with us, he just doesn't lay the hammer down on us. He comes in love and care and compassion, in tenderness and kindness. Kind of, I'm sure he spoke in a sweet, gentle voice. I could almost think maybe that he gave the man an embrace. Oh, but this ruler, he failed to recognize the very thing that he was holding on to. Again, he could have taken that away. God could have just removed all the obstacles for him, and then he could have had nothing left, and he could have said, all right, Lord, you're taking that away, so I'm going to come and follow you. But in the difficult places in life, we still have a choice to make. God is not going to make the choice for us. Do you believe that if he would have just said, Jesus, this is too hard for me. I can't do this. Can you help me? What do you think his response would have been? Let's pray. Yes. We can pray, and as Brother Johnson talks about furnishing a wheel. Yes. I don't know how I can do this, but I'm willing to do it. Yes. You think God could have worked with that? Yes. Absolutely. I recognize in this story, this is a specific example. But you know what? Really, when we think about the context of this, you can fill it in the blank with anything. What in my life can hinder my relationship with God? As I come through difficult places, if something gets in between me and God, doesn't matter what it is. You know, all of us, when we think about it, those of us that are saved, we came to a point, that's a difficult place. When you recognize, I need to make a change. And you have a decision to make. Generally, the hardest thing is just that first step, isn't it? What you know, when you think about it, what many of us maybe can look back on our lives and, oh, if I had just turned to the Lord sooner, what was hindering me? Is there anything hindering you from a relationship with God this morning? Is it that important? I remember, but before I get to that, in my Bible as we read through this story here. It kind of, some of the Bibles, they give a little heading over the scriptures.
Yeah.
This one says, unwillingness to sacrifice. That's the story. That's the heading to this story. And when we think about just sacrifice, is it really sacrifice? All that we have that could maybe hinder us from wanting to serve God, whatever, if it's things, if it's people, you know, for this young man, this young ruler, was it really a sacrifice? Something that God had allowed him to have anyways, right? So how can it be a sacrifice? Even when we think about each and every one of us individually, when we give our lives to God, is it a sacrifice? He's the one that gave us the life. So really, when it's all about how we think about it. Lord, you gave. You know, there's a verse of song that we sing that says, since Jesus gave his life for me, should I not give him mine? So is it really a sacrifice? Lord, you gave it to me. The least I can do is give it back to you.
Yeah.
Think about, we're talking about this morning a little bit in Sunday school about being blinded. Really, you think about, that's the only thing that separates souls from God is blindness.
Yeah.
And it's just, if you just take a step towards God, you know, God comes as close to each and every one of us as he can, and he's waiting for us to take that step.
Yeah.
It's a difficult place. I remember when I got saved, I knew I needed to be saved. Standing in the back of the church, trembling. But the hard and difficult, the difficulty was that first step.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the difficulty, making that first step towards God. You know what I remember in that service? I mean, you all remember Brother Kibble? He started calling people's names. That's what it took. Thank you, Lord. It took that, and he recognized he was following the leading of the Holy Spirit. We don't just start calling people out, but you know what? That's what was needed for me.
Yes.
Start calling, and you know, you hit all that first step. That was the difficulty was just taking that first step towards God. You know, sometimes people don't want to serve God because they feel like then he'll control my life. How many masters are there? Right? But you either serve God or you serve the enemy. Right? So are you really in control of your own life? No. You might feel like you are, but you're not. So if God is dealing, it's difficult. It's a change that has to take place. But God will meet you there.
Yes.
If that ruler had just said, you know what? No, I'm going to just lay it all down here. This is what I want. I want to have eternal life. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get it.
Amen.
Really, when you think about it, all of us are going to have that same
desire.
If I want eternal life, if I want the crown that's waiting for me over there, I'm going to have to do whatever it takes. And if I don't, if I come to a difficult place where I feel like something is too hard, I'm going to have to be willing Otherwise, I'll walk away like that root of sorrow. Here's another familiar story that we all know about. Remember David? And I know this is an extreme example, but you know about King David and what he did with Bathsheba. Somehow in his mind, he must have convinced himself that what he was doing was okay. You know, we think about all the steps that he took to make sure that Uriah was killed. Don't you think there had to be some warning signs along the way? But somehow he was convinced in his mind, I didn't do anything. Oh, but God had a prophet.
Yeah, he's talking to you.
He paid him a little visit, didn't he?
Yeah.
Let's go to 2 Samuel, 12th chapter. I know we are all getting familiar with this story and how the prophet comes and gives an illustration.
Yeah.
He just lays out the illustration so clear and plain. And oh, you can imagine maybe David just sitting, taking all this in. Let's read here. 2 Samuel 12, 1 through 7. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a dog. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock, of his own herd, to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him. But took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no people. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed thee king over Israel, and delivered thee out of the hand. So here in this illustration, again, I know this is an extreme example of outright sin that David committed. But now he's in what you would call a difficult place now. Because now a truth has been revealed to him. Everything, all the curtain has been pulled back. And all maybe the things within his mind that he had justified, it's all been exposed now. And he recognized is that what he was done was wrong. Now what are you going to do about it? This is the difficult place. When truth is revealed, when God makes himself known to us, then how do we respond to that? We know his response here in the 13th and the 14th verses. And Nathan, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. So in this extreme example, there was a consequence, right, that took place.
Yeah. You know, the point of this example is it doesn't have to be that extreme, but the point is when God reveals himself, when he makes known what his desire is, how do we respond? We're in a difficult place now because now everything is laid out. What are we going to do? Are we going to say, Lord, it's me, Lord, as the song, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Help me, Lord. Or are we going to walk and go the other way? Just like the rumor. He went away soft. I can't do it. This is too difficult.
All of us, no doubt, could maybe relate some examples that you've had in your life. Maybe some difficult places that you had to go through. Maybe God was calling after you for a certain, calling after something in your life, or calling you for a specific purpose, and you had to make a decision. How am I going to respond to this? Am I going to submit myself to your divine will, Lord, or am I going to fight against it? I may have shared this story before, but I remember being in a difficult place about 5 years ago. Before God began to talk and deal and work with about us relocating here to Dallas, thinking about where we were and here on a job for over 10 years, we're at the church where we kind of a family church, your family all around you. It wasn't, you know, it was kind of a cushy place, I guess you could say. But you know what? As God began to deal, as he began to work, it's like, what am I doing? You've heard me say this, and I have said before that I'll never live in Dallas. I'll never move to Texas. Different things, I used to come and my allergies would just tear me up, and like, no, that's not how. But then God came knocking. What you gonna do now? I remember having a conversation with somebody, and I was at the time I was beginning to surrender, but I hadn't fully committed it over to the Lord. He mentioned something about delayed obedience is still disobedience. You know, that hit me right here. And I think that was the point where it's like, Lord, throwing up my hands. I'm not telling this story to, I'm nothing special. God is God Almighty.
Yes.
And he is no respecter of persons. What he has done for one, he'll do for another.
Yeah.
I just know that God is faithful.
Yeah.
He has blessed beyond what I could have imagined, both spiritually and in other ways.
Yeah.
Gone above and beyond what I would have thought. And then here we hear about a year and a half. And then Brother Darrell says, the Lord is sending me to Sacramento. Lord, here I'm thinking I'd come here and be mentioned under a senior minister and be able to have some, you know, lot of knowledge and things passed down. Yet God had plans for him to go somewhere else. Yes, Lord. I'm here now, Lord. But God is faithful.
Yes.
In those difficult places of life,
right.
He'll be right there. But you know what? We have to be willing. We have to be willing to do whatever he requires.
Amen.
Should we think it strange, though, when we think about it? What if
Jesus Christ had to go through.
Did he have any difficult places while he was here on this earth? Even just the fact of coming to earth,
you had to be willing to do that.
Yes.
But the wonderful thing is, God will equip us with everything that is needed to be into us. Just as a reminder, let's go to that story when Jesus was there in the garden.
He was in the Garden of Gethsemane there in Matthew, the 26th chapter. The 36th verse.
I'm going to read verse 42.
Matthew 26, 36 through 42.
Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane.
Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane.
And saith unto the disciples.
Sit ye here.
While I go and pray unto.
And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee.
And began to be sorrowful
and very pale.
Then he said unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful.
Even unto death.
Tarry ye here.
And watch with me.
And he went a little further.
He fell on his face.
Praying, saying.
Oh my Father.
Oh my Father.
If it be possible.
Let this cup pass from me.
Nevertheless.
Not as I will.
He cometh unto his disciples,
finding them asleep,
and said unto Peter,
What?
Could ye not watch with me one hour?
Watch and pray.
That ye enter not into temptation.
The spirit indeed is willing.
But the flesh is weak.
And he went away again the second time.
And prayed, saying,
Oh my Father,
if this cup may not pass from me,
except I drink it,
Thy will be done.
Go ahead and read 43 and 44.
And he came and found them asleep again.
For their eyes were heavy.
And he left them.
And went away again.
Prayed the third time.
Saying the same words.
You know, when we think about difficulty of life and just difficult places, if you're not in a situation now, be on guard, because there's one right around.
Yeah.
And this is not to be unexpected, because we're talking about the Son of God here that had to go through some difficult places.
Right.
We're not exempt.
Right.
He's our example.
Yeah.
Jesus, we will follow in our footprints. Share thy suffering and shame and all. We're going to have to go through some of the same things that he went through.
Yeah.
Do you take notice? He had some with him, didn't he? But they didn't have, all of us going to have to go through our own difficult places with us and God. We can have the love and support of others, and that's good, and that's wonderful.
Yeah.
But you know what? They weren't in the situation. Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, they're not the ones that were about to be crucified. So he had to get it for himself, didn't he? He had to go and he wanted to come and pray with me. All I'm asking is just an hour. Even if they could have kept their eyes open, that would have been good. But you know what? In the submission of the will and giving it everything to God is something that Jesus had to do himself. And he prayed, and he prayed,
and he prayed again. You know, he prayed 3 times, but it don't matter how many times. Lord, I'm going to pray until I get everything I need from you.
Yes, Lord.
If I have to come time and time again, Lord, be like the story in the Bible with the unjust judge and continual worrying, and God is more just than that, isn't he? If we do our part, if we can't do like the ruler, go away sorrowful, I can't do it, Lord. Lord, I'm willing to do it.
Yes.
Just give me what I need.
Yes.
You know what the Amplified says about this 38th verse says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch me. It says here, he said unto him, my soul is very sad and deeply grieved, so that I am almost dying of sorrow. And here in that 38th verse, he went a little farther. It says he threw himself upon the ground on his face, praying, saying, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I desire, but as you will and you desire.
Amen.
Lord, whatever your desire is.
I realize that I failed to give definition for difficult things.
You know what difficulty is? It's defined as hard to do, hard to carry out, hard to deal with. It requires much effort.
Yeah.
That's what did. And all of us are going to go through some difficult places.
Yeah.
But you know what? God is faithful. If we commit ourselves into his hands and allow him to mold us and shape us and work with us, we'll make it.
Yes,
and we don't have to go away sorrowful like that ruler. We can be just like Jesus. Lord, if it's all possible, if I don't have to, Lord, but you know what, Lord, if it's your will,
yes.
Not mine, Lord, yes. I just commit myself to whatever you will require.
Yes.
You know what my desire is as I think about. You know, I've gone through some difficult places in my life. No doubt I'm going to have to face some more.
Yeah.
But the songwriter, this is my desire. The title of this song is I Give You My Heart. It says, this is my desire to honor you. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, that's my desire as I go through difficulty in life. Lord, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way. You know, if we have that desire, like the song right here, God will be faithful to us. And he will give us everything that we need as we go through this life. We have to deal with difficulty and go through difficult places. God will be with us every step.
Amen.
I appreciate your time and your attention this morning. It's my desire to be faithful. And I realize that I'm depending on him. And you know what? That's the best person to depend on.
Yeah.
The scripture talks about the arm of flesh going to fail us. But you know what? If I look to him and lean on him, I know that he will. Always has been,
He is and always will be faithful. Again, I desire you.